In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching. This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Come, Lord, and come, Holy Spirit. We need you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. Yes, he who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my heavenly Father. Why would we want to acknowledge Jesus? Because there's nobody like Jesus. There's nobody like Jesus. Oh, yes, the New Testament and the church's history and our personal experience is that there's nobody like Jesus. Oh, and people do not know that. I have said this before, and I will say it again. They go on retreat to Mickey Mouse Land in Disneyland, Disney World, call it what you will. They'll go for a week or two on retreat to see Mickey and Minnie. And the children do not know Jesus. They do not know where to turn when they get in trouble. They do not know Jesus. They do not know how wonderful he is. How wonderful he is. And you see, we give them everything, but we give them nothing. When we do not pass on the faith, we give them nothing. When we do not pass on the faith of the church and connect them to the Lord Jesus Christ, we give them nothing. You must really know that. Because you can give everybody everything, but if you don't give them Jesus, I'm going to tell you, you give them nothing. And you see, Jeremiah said it so clearly. Jeremiah said it so clearly. And this is way before Jesus. This is way before the incarnation. Oh, this is way before the incarnation. Jeremiah said, I said I wasn't going to speak anymore in his name, in the name of the Father, in the name of God. But I couldn't hold it in. It was like a burning fire in my bones. I'm going to tell you, I am constrained to preach the gospel. That's what St. Paul says. I am constrained to preach. I understand that. Maybe not many people understand that, but I understand that. Constrained. I'm not saying under a compulsion, but I am constrained to preach the gospel. This is the mandate that's been given to me before I was born. This is from all eternity that the Lord called me to preach the gospel, from all eternity. I know that to be true. You want to know why? That because when I'm having the most difficult of days and I feel like, you know what, it's better for me to be in heaven, I'm telling you, I start preaching as if I'm on top of the mountain. I'm constrained to preach the gospel. And why not? Because this Jesus is wonderful. Because Jesus is all loving. Because Jesus is all merciful. Because Jesus doesn't reject anybody. Because Jesus is kind. Because Jesus is all powerful. Because Jesus is the Father's only Son. Because Jesus is the Lord. Oh, let me tell you, my friend, people do not preach Jesus. You want to know why? I'm going to tell you why. I was talking to somebody just recently. You know, they go to this school. It's supposed to be a theological school. And I said, do the teachers know Jesus? The person looked at me and said, no. There's a big block there. There's a big block. Now, how can you teach theology and you don't know Jesus? And I'm going to tell you why. You become, you know what I call it? Well, I'm not going to tell you what I call it because it's really disgusting. It's so sad. I'd much rather have some little person who's following Jesus to preach the gospel and to teach theology because you want to know what? No one can help you but Jesus, because no one but Jesus knows how. I'd much rather have one of these black ladies that from Haiti that know the power of God, or from the islands that know the power of God, than have a professor up there. Oh, I used to tell you the story about the woman who came in to it was a world religion class in a Catholic school. They had world religion, you know, and they had everybody. And then they had this Pentecostal lady, and she came in. It was Sister Cora, her name was. Sister Cora. Well, Sister Cora was going to give her testimony. Hallelujah. And this is how it went. In 1940, I was completely paralyzed. I could not move one muscle of my body. I heard this voice say, Cora. I thought it was Jed Ames. Jed Ames, is that you, Jed Ames? He's my next door neighbor. Cora, get up and walk. Jed Ames, stop fooling around. Cora, get up and walk. I put my feet on the ground, and I started to walk. Hallelujah. And the little lady with her going, Amen, Sister Cora. Amen. Amen. I tell you, she had something to shout about. She had something to shout about. She had a testimony. She had a testimony. In 1940, I was completely paralyzed. She had something to shout about. She met Jesus. Jesus healed Sister Cora. She had something to shout about. If you can't shout about Jesus, I'm going to tell you, then you can't shout. Oh, they'll shout about the Red Sox. They'll shout about the Patriots. But about Jesus, they won't shout about Jesus. You want to know why? They don't know him any more than they know the man in the moon. And in, as it says in Hello, Dolly, the man in the moon is a woman. Well, anyway, that's another issue. If someone starts shouting about Jesus, you know what they say? That one's a fanatic. And yet Jesus is wonderful. He went to the cross out of love for us. He bore our wounds and carried our infirmities. He right now sits at the Father's right hand, speaking your name to the Heavenly Father. He who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before the Heavenly Father and before the angels. And you see, we don't acknowledge Jesus because we want to be acknowledged to the angels. We acknowledge Jesus because it burns in our bones. Oh, it burned. I had a young woman come in to me yesterday. This young woman, her father was very influential in my spiritual conversion in 1968. Hallelujah. And she said, my passion is Jesus. This woman is a banker, but my passion is Jesus. And you could tell. You could tell. She says, because so many people don't know about him. And so many people in the church don't know him. They don't know him. They never met him. My passion is to bring Jesus to people and people to Jesus. That's my passion. And you know, she just had a retreat a couple of weeks ago. It was called an Antioch retreat. That was the retreat that I got converted on in 1968. I looked at her and I said, you have to proceed, Bernadette. You want to know why? Because, Bernadette, I would not be here if it was not for that Antioch retreat. I would not be here because that's the place where God changed my life. That's the place where Jesus came into my life. I experienced the power of the Holy Ghost. I experienced the living water. I experienced the joy of the Lord. I experienced the leaping river in my belly. I didn't know there was a river. I didn't know there was a river. I didn't know that Jesus said, the one who thirsts, let him come to me, and out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. I experienced that river. Oh, it was like running in my body. I'll never forget it. How can I forget? You know, it's the most powerful religious experience I've ever had, and you know, I've never had one quite like it. I've never had one as strong as that. It's kept me from 1968 until this day, because I could never deny what Jesus did for me in that chapel and what he did for me in the following 2 weeks. I could never deny it. I could never deny it. And then he planted his holy name in my DNA. That's what he did, because I'm going to tell you, if they took an analysis of my DNA, they would see the name of Jesus. They would see the name of Jesus floating around in my DNA. They would see his name, because he's imprinted his name on my DNA. I know that. I know that. No one has to tell me that. No one has to tell me that. Last week we were at St. Thomas Aquinas and we did a healing service. And I remember when I was, before I was a seminarian, I used to go into that church and pray. I remember. And it showed Isaac Jogues. And it showed Isaac Jogues writing the name of Jesus on a tree. Oh yes. And there were the Native Americans or the Indians, call them what you want. And I would say to God the Father, would you just write his name on my heart? Just the way Isaac Jogues wrote his name on the tree. Would you just write the name of Jesus on my heart? Would you write that holy name of Jesus on my heart? I can't but preach in his name. I cannot but speak in his name. I can be the lowest of the low. I cannot help but preach in the name of Jesus. St. Paul said, I am compelled to preach the gospel. Oh, I'm looking for men like that. Those are the kind of men I want around me. I want men that are going to preach to Jesus, to preach the gospel. That's what I want. You know, I don't need people to preach the church. You know, I don't want to preach the church at all. You want to know why? You preach Jesus, he leads you to the church. You preach Jesus. I don't preach denomination. You know, they know I'm a Catholic. They know I'm a Catholic priest. I'm going to live a Catholic priest and die a Catholic priest. I believe the fullness of faith is in the Catholic Church. I believe all that. But you know what? My vocation is not to preach Catholicism, but to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's my vocation. Why do you think I'm on the radio? This is very interesting, because you know what? I'm a nobody. When you think about it, who am I? I am a nobody. I'm not this person like Father Carapi that's got a name all around the country, all around the world. I'm not that kind of person. I'm just Father Tom from East Boston. That's right. That's who I am. I'm nobody. But to God, I'm somebody. To Jesus Christ, I'm somebody. I might not even be anybody to myself, but to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm somebody. See, I'm not the kind of person that should be on the radio. I'm not really. In all reality, you know, I don't have the means to do it. I don't have the wherewithal. I'm not glitzy. I'm not any of those things. I'm just me. And I'm just me. And if you listen to me, you know who I am. People come up to me and they say, Father Tom, I know you. You don't know me, but I've been listening for years and I know you. And I have to repeat, they know me, because they get the real thing. They get the real thing. When I preach, they get when I'm on the mountain and when I'm in the valley. They know me. That's real. I should not be on the radio by any natural means, but it has nothing to do with the natural. It has everything to do with the supernatural. Everything to do with the supernatural that God has kept us on since 1984. Who am I? I'll tell you who I am. I am Tom, the one whom Jesus loves. He has imprinted his name in my heart. I have acknowledged him before men and women. I remember a long time ago, it was in 1983, 1984. Oh, I had been going through one of my deep, deep times of darkness. And I remember that they had the fire team at the Boston Garden. The fire team, they were Ralph Martin and Sister Ann Shields and the rest of them. And I remember that I was just limp. I was just limp. I felt so dead. I didn't know if I was going to make it. It was 86, I'm going to tell you. I didn't know if I was going to make it. I went to this thing just because everybody was going, and I sat in a certain seat. I was thinking about this the other night, and I had all these people coming up to me as if I was the king of some country. Oh, thank you, Father Tom. Oh, you've been such an influence in my life. Thank you, Father Tom. Thank you, Father Tom. It was like the Lord saying to me, you know, even though you feel like gum under a piece of your shoe, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to send the people to you that you've blessed. I'm going to send the people to you that you brought me to, and me to them, and you to them, and me to you. I'm going to send the people that you evangelize. And my gosh, this is really true. I was there so desolate, so empty, so broken, so needy, so poor. 1986, 1987, and all these people coming up to me as if I were their father. And in a real sense, like St. Paul said, you have only one father in Christ, and that's me. You know, I was their father. You know why? Because I preached the word of God to them. I preached the name of Jesus to them. Oh, yes, those were the days when the Seneca, we had hundreds and hundreds, even Peter Kreft. I preached the name of Jesus to Peter Kreft. And we prayed over Peter Kreft for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he received that presence of the Holy Ghost. Listen, who am I to pray over a man that's got 9 doctorates, so to speak? I'm just a 6th grade teacher at that time in 1970. But I'll tell you one thing. It's all about Jesus. It has nothing to do with me. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's imprinted his name on my heart. He's imprinted his name on my DNA. And I will acknowledge him before kings, before queens, before paupers, before street people, before priests, before angels, before saints. I will acknowledge Jesus, because you know why? I can't but acknowledge him, because he's wonderful. You understand me? I don't know if you understand me. You see, I don't know if you understand me, because I can't but acknowledge him. Oh, I tell the story that when I left teaching, I got this notice in the mail that I could sell yellow pages. I told the story before. Yellow pages. I remember going to Medford selling yellow pages. I said that I could make a lot of money, and I had no money. And this is after I left my teaching job. This is before the seminary. I'm gonna be bringing yellow pages to all these homes, and I could make all this money, you know? I remember bringing these yellow pages to one home after another. There were some young kids, little boys and girls, sitting on the stoop, and I would tell them about Jesus. I should be passing out yellow pages. But I'm telling about Jesus. I realized after a week I spent more money on gasoline than I made from yellow pages, so I had to quit. Because there I was, you know, supposedly doing a job of passing out yellow pages, those big phone books. But I wasn't doing a very good job of it. I was telling people about Jesus. You know the old black spiritual, I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself, but I couldn't keep it to myself, but I couldn't keep it to myself. I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself, what the Lord has done for me. I tell you, when Jesus becomes alive, you cannot help but share the gospel. One man came up to me who's coming to our services now. His name is Bob. And, you know, he had cancer, and we're praying for him, and he's just filled with the Holy Ghost, and he's bringing other people. It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. And he said 20 years ago, or 27 years ago, when I was an alcoholic, he says, I came to you, and I don't remember any of this. And I tell you, if he came to me, I brought him to Jesus. I brought him to Jesus. 27 years ago, he said to me, I don't remember that. How can I remember those things? I remember another woman in my parish. I remember she was searching and searching, and she said, you know what? I don't want anything to do with this born-again stuff. And I just said, oh, I understand that. But let's just ask Jesus to come into your heart and to forgive your sins. And she did. She's preaching Jesus now. I know her. I know her. She's preaching Jesus now. I didn't have to talk about born again. Didn't need to talk about that stuff. Let's just ask Jesus to come into your heart. Why don't preachers preach Jesus? One of two reasons. They either don't know him, or they're ashamed of him. I tell you, how can you be ashamed of Jesus when he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, becoming obedient still even to death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him and gave him the name above every other name, so that the name of Jesus every knee will bend, in the heavens, on the earth, and under the earth, and every tongue proclaim to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. I tell you, why don't preachers proclaim Jesus? They either don't know him, or they're ashamed of him. And they're ashamed of what people are going to think. But Jesus is salvation. Should I hold salvation away from people? Jesus is the rock on which we stand. Should I hold the rock away from people when the storm runs, blows, and the winds blow, and the rains come? They have no footing to stand on the rock, which is Christ. Jesus is the good shepherd, that when the wolf comes, he'll protect us. How could I withhold the name of Jesus from people, from you? How can I withhold? And he wants you. He wants you. He wants you. He wants you. And his promise is, no one who comes to me will I ever reject. Have you ever been rejected? Come on, we can all start the rejection club. We've all been rejected. We've all been rejected. But Jesus says, no one who comes to me will I ever reject. Because I'm not into rejection. I'm into receiving my people. But you see, you just don't want to receive Jesus. You want him to imprint his name upon your heart. You want him to imprint his name upon your DNA. You want to be sold out for Jesus. You just, you know. That's what you need. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Oh, I pray, God, that you would send me people that would want to proclaim his holy name in season and out of season. That whether we're on the mountain or in the valley, we're going to still proclaim Jesus. Oh, Lord, I need people that around me, they're going to love Jesus with such a love that they're going to inflame me to love him more, because you know what? I still don't love him as much as I need to. Oh, God, you know that to be true. I don't have to convince these people. You know that to be true. But I need him, and I need him more than I need anything else. I need him more than I need anything else. Do you long for something? Do you long for something that's the best? Do you long for fulfillment? You're longing for Jesus. You pray with me. Oh, Jesus, I believe you will not reject me, and I come unto you. Forgive my sins. Come into my heart and be my Savior and my Lord. Imprint your name in my DNA and imprint your name on my broken heart. Love me with more love than I've ever had. Love me. Love me. Love me. And so, the Red Sox won the World Series. What does that mean? Go Sox. Yeah. I tell you, Jesus hit a grand slam when he died on the cross and won you for the Father. And he keeps on hitting grand slams as we surrender our life to him. May his name be praised. And may he be exalted by you. Amen. Tonight, there will be Mass at the Holy Rosary at 7:30, followed by Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament all night long. You are welcome to come. That's at the Holy Rosary. And that's at 1015 Shirley Street in Winthrop. I have a couple of other announcements. Tomorrow, there'll be a rosary vigil at Planned Parenthood, 1055 Commonwealth Avenue at 8:30. And that's tomorrow, Saturday, November 10th, at Planned Parenthood, 1055 Commonwealth Avenue in Brighton. You are welcome to come and to join that rosary vigil. I will be doing a day of recollection at His Land in Lakeville, and that's on Wednesday the 14th. And I will give you Lakeville. It's called His Land, and that's Wednesday the 14th. I'll get you their telephone number during the week, next week. And if you'd like to come to that, you're welcome. It's a day from 10 to 3, and we just praise the Lord, and I preach, and we praise the Lord some more, and then I preach some more, and we praise the Lord some more, and we get the people healed, because the blood is in the blood, this healing. And then, I want to tell you about Bella. It is a love story. Get to see Bella. B-E-L-L-A. Bella means beautiful. It means beautiful. Remember, Life is Beautiful? Remember that movie? It's going to be a movie that's as wonderful as Life is Beautiful. Remember that beautiful movie about the father who played games in the German concentration camp? Remember? That was such a beautiful... I wept when that little boy at the end cries, Mama! Bella is not a movie about a concentration camp, but it's a movie about love. It's real love, not Oprah's love. It's real love. And real love has to do with sacrifice. So I'll repeat all these things now tonight, 7:30 at the Holy Rosary, Mass, and then we have Adoration. Then tomorrow, November 10th, a Rosary Vigil, 1055 Commonwealth Avenue at Planned Parenthood. And then Wednesday, Lakeville, His Land, 10 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And watch the movie, get to see the movie, Bella. Bella. B-E-L-L-A. Father, I pray that the name of Jesus may be exalted this weekend. I pray, God, that the holy name of Jesus would go forth from sea to sea and from the rivers to the ends of the earth. Father, you promised me that you would send people from around the world to proclaim Jesus. Father, I want young people whose hearts burn with the love of Christ. I want you to send them to me, Father, because you promised me. And I ask you, Lord, that there would be an army that would go out to proclaim his name, not only the name of Jesus, but the power of his mercy, the power of his love, the glory of his name. I pray, Father, that you do new things and work new wonders, because we need you so bad. In Jesus' name we pray, who is so wonderful. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo,
hey!
P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.